Week one of the high school football season underway across the Upper Cumberland, and here we are set to talk about it on the High School Playbook from Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. It's where we'll spend every Saturday morning all the way until March talking high school sports. Larry Stone with you. Glad you're along this day as we'll make trips to Crossville, Salina, Monterey, Smithville before we're through. And we have with us the victorious White County Warriors, who got a opening night win in high school football last night. We'll visit with them as we move through this hour from Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. It's just good to have high school football back underway across the Upper Cumberland. And some exciting action last night. Let's take a look at our scoreboard and see how your favorite team did. Start with the Warriors of White County, who get a win for the first time since 2016. Beating Cannon County last night by a 17-6 score. White County tallied over 200 yards rushing. Bill Briggs, 105 yards on the ground, and a touchdown that breaks a 24-game losing streak for White County. Monterey used their ground game to a full potential, beating Sales Creek 35-12. Mason Bowman finished the game, 116 yards on 9 carries, 2 touchdowns. Monterey defense held Sales Creek to just 65 yards on the ground. Livingston Academy defeated Westmoreland Friday night, 35-2. Quarterback Will McDonald threw 289 yards and a touchdown in a winning effort. Camp County and Warren County combined for 11 turnovers last night in Centerville. Warren County pulled it out in the end. Final 35-21 on two late touchdowns. Camp actually, after falling in the hole 21-0 at halftime, came back and tied the game at 21 with just 3:08 left in the quarter. Quarterback Jake Ashbach, 3 touchdowns. Clay County pulled over Monroe County, Kentucky, 33-0. 11, 63 yards. He also had a touchdown on the ground. 10 carries. Scott Highlanders defeated Cumberland County Jets 42-6. Cumberland County managed to 39 yards in total offense in that opener at Huntsville. But they did get a 92-yard kickoff return for a touchdown from Ronald Martin on the first play. The game for a Wendell Gibson rushed for 405 yards. Thomas Miller led the way for the Dragons with 165 yards on the ground. That includes 2 touchdowns. For Jackson County, Cole Parkerson, 15 carries, 35 yards, 2 touchdowns. Quarterback Eli Burris, 15 of 31 for 179 yards. Pickett County defeated Oakdale by a final of 16-8 in Byrdstown on Friday night. Stone Memorial falls to Grace Christian Academy Knoxville, 34-6 the final in that one. Other scores of interest across the Upper Cumberland: Smith County defeats Macon County 13-9. It was Watertown beating Gordonsville 19-13, and Sunbright wins over Red Boiling Springs by a final of 14-6. You can get summaries of all the games played across the Upper Cumberland last night. Just go to ucsportsnation.com. It's your brand new source for everything going on in high school sports across the Upper Cumberland. UCSportsNation.com, driven by East Tennessee Dodge. Let's get our breakdown of what went on across the Upper Cumberland Friday night started as we travel to Jamestown and bring in head coach Derwin Wright of the York Institute Dragons. Coach, you get the win. How would you grade your week one performance Friday night?
Well, honestly, real proud of our defense. Right before the half, it's 6-6 ball game, and Jackson County drove it down, got on about the 3-yard line, and we were able to hold them right at the half. Then early in the game, the first drive, basically, the first offense drive we had, we got down to the 1-yard line and fumbled. So went in at half 6-6. Our kids were, it was hot. Our kids were, you know, just really hands on hips, heads down. I challenged them at halftime and told them that we had conditioned, we'd worked hard, that they were going to have to dig deep, show some toughness, and that's what I'm most proud of. They came out the second half and played a much better half.
I guess in some ways that's the kind of preparation for the season upcoming that you can't dial up except for it just to happen in a game, for them to have to do that at halftime into the second half.
You're right, and you know you find out it's about character at that point. You know, you put in the training and you've done the conditioning and you're there, but it's when they have to really reach down in a game like that. You know, you go in at halftime, it's super hot, you know, and then you've got to reach in that reserve, and it has to be that next year that you're not real sure if, as a kid, you're not real sure you got it, but you do, and I was just proud in the second half the way they stepped up and came back. We were able to put some things together. Thomas Miller, senior running back for us, went in the game. We weren't sure he was even going to be able to play. And you know, he's had a sore hip, and he stretched and come in and warm up. He said, "Coach, I feel good." So we ended up 162 yards on the night. And then the little fullback, Ben Cooper, he had a career night for him. He had 150 yards. So, that's a big back for both of those guys.
Beyond the yards, Coach, did you see things technique-wise that you liked from your run game?
Well, I did as far as the way those guys were running, but I think, you know, we didn't execute. We're running some triple option. We didn't execute real well. Didn't read real well. So we went back away from that a little bit, back to a lot of our double wing T type stuff. And, you know, I feel like it's still something we can get really good at, but we're just going to have to put some more time in it.
Talking with Derwin Wright as York Institute gets the win over Jackson County 26-14 Friday night. How about defensively? What did you like? What did you write down on your list to work on in week two?
Well, we've got to work on our defensive backs. You know, things I liked, I thought our D-line at the most part did a decent job. We've got to work on our pass rush. Jackson County, Coach Loftus and that group, they did a great job throwing, you know, the quick passing game, stop routes and comebacks and bubbles and stuff. And we were giving way too much cushion to start with and start the game. And, you know, we were letting them just kind of ding us and pass it down the field on us. And I didn't feel like that we were, once they caught those passes, that we were aggressive enough. But, you know, it's something we can take and look at the film and spend some time on technique about coming out of the back pedals, breaking and getting in your passing lanes and doing some things. And, in that second half, especially late, they helped us a little bit. They had some drop balls that they should have caught. And finally, we got some linebackers in a drop. We had one that we should have intercepted. But, it's the first game, and you got I felt like a pretty solid Jackson County team. And, we've got some things to improve on there in our secondary and with our linebacker drops.
To that point, Coach, first game, you got guys that are suiting up for the first time to play. They've got nerves. There's things that you've worked on, but you just don't seem to ever have enough time.
Absolutely. You can't, it doesn't matter if it's high school level, college level. You know, in college, they don't get to really scrimmage anyone else. I remember that when I was playing, and, you feel like going in that first game that you're so prepared, but you've just been going against each other, and then all of a sudden you're in there, and it's a whole different offense, defense, that type of deal. And, know how many times you rep, go into that first game, and you find some things that you're like, hey, yeah, we're pretty solid right here, and then you find some things like, oh my goodness, what, we're not even executing this right. What are we doing? So I think that's just part of it. And you go back and you watch film and you try to figure out each year what your team's the best at, what they can do.
But it's better to do it after a win than a loss, right?
Well, absolutely. And like I said, we were blessed. I think we had to dig deep last night and find that halftime, and we came out and they were kicking off to us. We deferred the first half, went down and took a lead, and ended up playing a little bit better the second half.
26-14, the final. York gets the win over Jackson County. Head coach Derwin Wright. Look forward to a great season, coach. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Talking high school football, the high school playbook for Chick-fil-A Interstate Drive. We're here every Saturday morning. Coaches and players talking high school sports, and we're so glad to have the White County Warriors with us today because they got a big win last night. Not just a week one win, which that's always a big deal, beating Cannon County 17-6, but they get back in the win column for the first time since 2016. A new head coach of the Warriors, Mark Frazier, he is joining us live at Chick-fil-A. I'm sure you've heard about that over and over and over. We're going to win one. Good to get that just done and over with to start.
No doubt about it. It's been talked about quite a bit since we've taken over there. So it was good. It was good to get the monkey off our back. A lot of these seniors had gone a lot of games without getting to experience a win, so I'm really proud for them. They worked really hard. They earned it. Like I told you before we came on air, it wasn't pretty. But a win is a win, so I'm proud for the game. I think maybe it sets in for me to realize how important it was to get that monkey off our back, like I just said. So kids were excited. You know, it's fun. Hey, that's why you play. You play to enjoy. You play to have fun. And winning is fun. That's what I've told him. You know, we work hard so we can really enjoy it on Friday nights to get a win. So I was really, really proud for the guys.
When you rebuild a program, there's a lot of – you know, X's and O's and all of that that goes into it. But there's also just the mentality change. Could you see signs of that as this preseason has unfolded?
Well, one thing we talked about is when bad things happen, to keep your head up and continue to go forward and fight. So right off the bat, we come out, we kick off, they score on the first drive, and that's one thing we've harped on in our preseason. Hey, listen, bad things happen sometimes in football. Alabama gets scored on too. So we've got to keep our heads up and fight. And I felt like that happened last night. That was one thing that's concerning. When you've not experienced winning and things hit you in the mouth a couple of times, how are you going to react to it? So I was really proud about that. But you're right. The culture change is definitely something that we've worked on. And it's still a work in progress. There's still some growing pains there. But that's something we've got to instill in them for future wins and for the program's sake, for sure.
What did you like about what you did offensively?
I tell you, our offensive line played a great game. Offensive line played awesome. We've said this the whole year. We're never going to get out there with, you know, seven guys that run 4-4s and just toss, sweep, and run it for 80 yards. We've got to be physical up front. They did an outstanding job. I've watched it. You know, obviously, we're not too far from the game being over. I watched it two or three times. Very impressed with a lot of those guys. So they deserve all the credit. We had a couple running backs that ran hard. Jaden Richmond is a newcomer. His first game playing as a junior, he ran hard. Will Griggs is our senior. He's our captain. He's our leader. He ran hard as well. So proud of both those guys as well.
You've had more guys come out that haven't played football before.
Well, we've got several guys that haven't played. I would say, and this is a guess, but I'd say we probably have, starting-wise, 6-7 guys who've never stepped on the field before. The kid that's here today to speak with you guys never played football before. He comes out, our kicker, kicked a 35-yard field goal, made both his extra points. You know what I'm saying? So we've got a lot of guys that was the first time ever with a helmet on Friday night. So proud for those guys.
Is it tough to know how physical you can be coming out in the first game, especially because you don't want to get people banged up in the preseason?
Right. Well, as far as how physical we are as a team, that's something you're always questioning, and how much hitting, you know, how much banging do you do preseason? It's always a tough job as a coach to get the kids ready but not beat them up too much. We've got a long, long, long way to go to be where we need to be physically. But we're working on it. We've stressed the weight room, and like every team does, but we've got to get in the weight room to catch up a little bit. But the guys fought hard last night. I felt like I said, offensive line was very physical last night.
White County Coach Mark Frazier with us at Chick-fil-A this Saturday morning as we talk high school sports on Rock 93.7. How about defensively? What pleased you?
Well, I guess some resilience. We struggled. Like I said, first series, 5 plays, touchdown, some blown assignments. We come down and score offensively on our first series. They marched right back down the field, had a big interception with another young man that's here today with Bradley McBride, made a big interception there on fourth down inside our red zone. And I felt like we finally got our feet under us a little bit and fall back. You know, we're a little behind defensively than offensively. Our offense coordinator's been there a couple years. So I feel like we're a little ahead offensively. My defense coordinator, Curtis Beatty, has done a great job getting these guys ready to play. But with that being said, hey, it took us a while to get our sea legs, if you will. But Bradley made a big interception, and from then on, we didn't give up anything else as far as points go. Coach Daniel from Cannon, they do a really good job. Run a wing tee, do a great job. He's coached in Georgia as well. We kind of have some of the same coaching trees that we know of anyway. We know kind of where each came from. So he did. His team was ready to play. Great team. So I was excited for our defense to finally make a stop against that offense. I was a little nervous there for a second. Strangely enough, Bradley's listening to me right now. That was we lined up incorrectly on that play, but it ended up working out. So sometimes the football guys take care of you, I guess.
No, Coach, they called an audible. Yeah, that's what your defense called an audible. And the wing tee puts so much pressure on you defensively.
No doubt. Like I said, I coached in Georgia, and that's what we practiced against every day. So, you know, every offensive play, if ran correctly, is a touchdown, they tell me. But they do, and they made some adjustments in game that were really good, some things we had not worked on. So give Coach Daniel and his staff some credit. But our guys, I was proud of them. They learned on the fly, and we survived it. So,
Mark Frazier, why did you want this job?
Well, I tell you, I'm from Sparta. You know, I've coached. I came out of college and coached football, coached high school ball. Last year, lucky to be able to coach my son at the middle school. I've never coached younger kids before, so that was kind of a learning experience. But I've always been interested in this job. I've always wanted to take the challenge. I love Sparta. I love Sparta football. This is the only job I would take. I'm not coaching football to coach football. I'm here to coach Sparta football. So whenever they tell me that they've had enough of me at Sparta, that'll be my last coaching stint. So I'm excited, though. I just want the hometown to be able to enjoy Friday nights, and that's what we're after.
Because it is a community that loves its sports. I mean, you only have to go in the gym during basketball season
no doubt.
To understand that. And so if you can get some momentum, it could be an amazing place to be on Friday night.
Well, I do think that. You know, we've had a great sports program. Our basketball programs are excellent. Coach Dodgen with the girls does a spectacular job. Coach Mitchell's been to state tournaments, and we've had a lot of success there. Not just those, though. We've got several things, softball,
sure.
Baseball, a lot of guys with a lot of things. So football's kind of the one dragging us down right now. So I do think it's a sports town. We had a huge crowd last night. The whole sideline was packed. We had a wideout. The community supports us. You know, they want us to do well, and they support these kids. So if we can put a product on the field, I think they'll be there.
We'll talk more with head coach Mark Frazier and visit with several of the Warriors who are with us at Chick-fil-A as we continue. High School Playbook, built by Mountain Fire Builders. We're here every Saturday morning from 9 until 10 on Rock 93.7, talking high school sports. Mark Frazier, White County Warriors. Who would you say maybe has contributed most to your football philosophy? What do you think?
Well, like I said, I started in Georgia. Was lucky enough to go down and coach under Jeff Heron, who's won. I count the championships. He always grades me. I think it's 5 state championships. He'll probably call and say it was 6. A bunch. So I was lucky enough to coach with him. And Jeff Arnett was my defensive coordinator, a good friend of mine. A lot of the defensive stuff I've got from him. I'm a defensive coach. So I still call him. He's probably sick of my number popping up, asking him questions, trying to get things we need to do. So those two guys really were, you know, the biggest influences on me coaching-wise.
I've always wondered, as a defensive coach, how do you relate to the offensive side? Is it like begrudgingly?
Or? We don't even talk to them. We just tell
just them, let them do their thing.
No, I do believe it's important. And that's one thing I did learn from Coach Heron. He coached offensive football. When we went down as a staff, Arnett was our defensive coordinator, and he coached defensive side. He let him do his thing, and I think that's important. You've got to trust your coordinators. And like I said earlier, I'm really excited about my Greg Seagraves as the offensive coordinator. I told him last night I hope he doesn't have a heart attack or get sick, because I couldn't call a play if we had to. And Coach Beatty's done a spectacular job defensively. He's a guy that's been in, you know, from Livingston, coached for Bruce Lamb, so he knows a lot of football as well. So both those guys are doing a great job.
Who'd you bring along today?
Well, we brought Bradley McBride. He's a strong safety for us. Had an interception last night. And also Will Cheek. We asked him what position he wants to be called. He's a wide receiver, but he's our kicker as well. And last night he made two extra points and a field goal that were really, really important to give us a buffer.
So, Bradley, let me start with you. How excited was that locker room, especially for you seniors, when that game ticked down to nothing yesterday?
We were really excited last night. I mean, it was a it was a feeling that we've never had before. You know, it's as long as I've been here, it's been the same stuff. You know, and we get out there and get a good win, first game of the season, and it felt really good.
Does that wear on you, week after week losing?
It really does. It gets hard to go into a game. It's hard on your confidence. You know, you try to get hopped up before the game anyway, but.
What did you come into this senior season wanting to accomplish? Did you have specific goals for yourself and for the team?
I always just want to do the same thing myself. Play as hard as I can, you know, try to help this team as much as I can. And as a team, obviously, we want to get that win. We want to change what's been done for the last couple of years and you know, just go out and do our best, do the best we can.
Will, how did it feel to connect and hit that field goal?
It was an awesome feeling. I mean, Cedric got it back there to me, and I just relaxed and put it through the uprights.
What is the key to learning how to be a field goal kicker?
I mean, just dedication, I guess. I mean, just go out there and connect with it.
Can you put an estimate on how many field goals you've kicked, like on an average day? I mean,
I go out there while everybody else is working out, and I kick probably 20 to 30 balls a day, punts and kicks.
How accurate are you?
I mean, I've gotten pretty consistent. I'm pretty consistent within 45 yards, so I've gotten pretty good consistently.
Now, do you feel like you're going to go up to coach before the game and say, Coach, I'm good tonight from 42 or 34, or are you going to leave that to him?
I'll leave that to him.
Okay. Mark, I mean, that's a real challenge because it's an overlooked part of high school football. There are a lot of teams that don't have that ability to even kick extra points.
Oh, I know it.
And so to have somebody who you know, you feel like you can count on is important.
Yeah, we're excited about Will. He's been a great addition. Sometimes when you talk about asking how long he can kick it, sometimes he'll tell you 60. So I know I'm going to have to make that decision. You never know what he thinks he can do. But we like that he's confident in himself, and we like the fact that, hey, he's brought a new element to the team. It's very important. I can't stress how important it was last night. You know, they score first drive. They missed their extra point, 6-0. We score, we make it. And I know that's just a touchdown apiece, but there's something to be said about being ahead. And then we come back down, like I said, and they're about to score again. Bradley gets the interception right there. So both those plays change that game. And then later on, it's 14-6. We have some holding penalties, some mistakes offensively, and we make that field goal. Gives you a two-score buffer. That's a lot more relaxing for a coach. I promise you, sitting over there with two scores. So really excited to have both these guys.
All right, so, Will, if you say you can hit it from 60, does that mean that it's going through the uprights, or does it just mean you can kick it?
That just means I can kick it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Bradley, tell me about the interception. What did you see as that play was unfolding?
I'm going to have to be honest. It was just I was just in the right place at the right time, and just a good opportunity to change the momentum, and just a real exciting moment in the game.
Where do you feel like this team can get to? Can you take the momentum? Do you go back to work this week and fix the things and say, hey, if we play like that, we got a chance every week?
I think we get back to practice, look at what we did wrong and, you know, what went right in that game, and try to build on that throughout the season and get better.
Will, do you see a work ethic on this football team that the guys want to get better and want to improve?
Oh, most definitely. We get in there in the weight room every day, and we bust our butts every day. And we go out on the field, and we're dedicated, and we work every single day. We have our hearts and minds in it every day.
Coach, do you see the same thing, that willingness to get better?
I think so. I think the kids are working hard. I think maybe they think they don't know for sure what working hard is sometimes. Sometimes we as coaches have to know that we've got to push them a little bit to know there is another level of work ethic. But I will say this. Very coachable kids. I've been excited about the group we have. We were concerned coming into that. We knew a lot of the ninth graders and sophomores that were coming up because we had them in middle school, and some of my coaches have coached peewee football, and they knew all these kids, but we didn't know the juniors and seniors very well. So there was concern, hey, how would they handle as hard as we knew we were going to push them. But they've took it well, especially the seniors have took it on their back. And like I said, there were some growing pains, and we're still working. We still got a ways to go, but they're doing everything we asked them to do. So
great to have that buy-in, isn't it?
No doubt, no doubt. And that was, like I said, that's the key. Everybody's got to buy in and pull in one direction. If we do that, well, we can change this thing around.
The Warriors of White County beating Cannon County 17-6 Friday night. Head coach Mark Frazier, Bradley McBride, a senior safety, Will Cheek, senior kicker. Great to have you guys with us, and thanks for being a part of the first week of the High School Playbook.
Now, we appreciate you having us. Thank you.
UCSportsNation.com, your new home for Upper Cumberland High School sports. We're bringing you the High School Playbook this Saturday morning. Week one is in the books, except for tonight's matchup between Cooksville and Upperman. That game rained out on Thursday night. They're going to try again at Tucker Stadium at 7 o'clock. We'll have the game for you live on UCSportsNation.com. As we head to Monterey, bring in head coach Scott Hughes. Wildcats get the win over Sail Creek 35-12. On Friday night, coach, game one win, that always feels good.
It definitely does. That was something that my seniors had talked about. We had never won the first game of the year, and it's not that we've ever played terrible during that game. It's just, we've played a 5A school a couple times, played Cookeville one time, and then played a really, really good Mount Pleasant team the last couple years. And so the stage was set for us to have to go out and compete. And Sail Creek was in the playoffs last year, very physical team. They averaged about 6'4", 270 across their front, led by a 6'5", 310 and a 6'7", 370. It was a good football team. And our kids answered the challenge last night.
I mean, that's the double part of this, is that you won, but you also beat – a perennially good program in getting that first win.
Yes, last year they got in the playoffs, and Coach Cox is really doing a good job with that program, and he's a good person. I've got to know him over the years, and it's one of those things that we've always tried to challenge ourselves with non-region football games. We want to play teams non-region that are either bigger than us, classification-wise, or that are traditionally in the playoffs. And so when he called and asked about playing, definitely interested in it, just from the standpoint that I know their program is on the rise, and I know they're going to be in the playoffs.
The stats show that you ran the ball well Friday night. In your opinion as a coach, did you run it well?
At times, I'll give our offensive line credit. That was something that we were a little bit worried about, because of the sheer size that they had, and they brought so much pressure on every play. But we were really proud of our offensive line, and we feel right now that we need to brag on several guys. Jordan Key, Jordan's Jordan. He's gonna lead us. And Anthony Sobranos and Mason Bowman stepped up last night and took over running the ball a little bit. But it's one of those things. We feel we got to brag on our receiving corps as well, because right now those guys are playing hard, and not only do they have the capability of making a play, catching the ball, Chandler Bowden and Eli Saylors, those guys, do good things, and Shiloh Walker, Kevin Borjas, Logan Sparks, all those guys have the capability of catching a football and getting a first down, or even catching a football and breaking one for an explosive play. But last night they bought into what we were doing, and they really blocked hard. They understood the situations that we were in, and they were very selfless in sacrificing their stats for the betterment of the team last night and blocking.
You got practices, you got jamborees, but it always seems like it's hard to know what you really have in terms of an offensive line and that physicality until you line up against that first opponent.
Very true. It's one of those things. We really challenged our program this off season. We went against White County. Coach Frazier, I think, will do good things there. He's a great coach, good person. We went against Rockwood, who Coach Webb does a great job there. They were in the semifinals 2A, I think it was 2 years ago. Went against Coalfield, who is traditionally in single-A football in the semifinals or the quarterfinals. And then we went in the jamboree with Upperman, which, in this area speaks for itself. They were in the semifinals last year. So we really challenged ourselves across the board physically just to make sure that we were prepared. Because sometimes, as you said, in practice, you don't get to do that. It's one of those things, you're limited in practice. You're trying to save bodies. You know, the last thing you want to do is get somebody injured in a practice. And then it's hard to find that physicality line in the scrimmage because you don't want to get somebody injured. So it's managing how many reps a young man gets. Did you get enough? You know, there's so many factors that go into it that a lot of people don't realize. And especially for us, being a single-A school and having such small roster numbers, it really does factor in as far as, you know, managing reps daily.
Monterey coach Scott Hughes with us on the High School Playbook. What pleased you defensively about your win?
Well, for the vast majority of the night, we were exactly where we needed to be. And we didn't have a whole lot of mental bust. We did have a few that I was upset about just because I felt that it was simple, the bust that we had. I felt it was things that we had went over upwards of hundreds, if not thousands of times. And it was one of those things that it come in situations that we had talked about, third downs, trying to get off the field, a couple of fourth downs, trying to get off the field. And you know, it's one of those things, it's game one. And sometimes game one, you make a lot more mental mistakes just because of the hoopla and excitement of it being game one. And I think sometimes last night with us playing some young guys that we got caught up in that. We just got caught up in the excitement a couple times. But overall, very, very proud of our defense in all three levels. I thought all three levels played really well last night for the vast majority.
You've done the right thing 714 times, but the lights come on and suddenly it's like, where am I supposed to be right now?
Oh, you're exactly right. And you know, all of a sudden the game speeds faster and the bodies are a whole lot bigger. And you know, it's one of those things you get caught up and you feel confident in what's going on, but all of a sudden the speed's a little bit different, the size is a little bit different, the stakes are a little bit higher, and you know, end of the day, you know, still very proud of our kids. They're growing up in the game of football very fast, and we're counting on some young guys to play and to see their growth from day one of practice to last night. Was super proud of each and every one of them.
Monterey 35, Sail Creek 12. Wildcats start the season 1-0. Head coach Scott Hughes, thanks for the visit.
Yes, sir, always. Thank you guys for what you do.
Clay County gets a big win over Monroe County, Kentucky, Saturday night, 33-0. As we bring aboard Bulldogs head coach Jake Johnson. Coach, how'd the win feel to you?
Oh, it felt absolutely great. Number one, just to, I guess, get the monkey off your back. You know, you've been working for an entire off season and preseason. You know, you believe in your kids, but you're untested, you know. So now I feel like we know a little bit more, have a better idea of what we have.
You just can't base your analysis of what you have as a football team on practice. You got to see what they do with the lights on.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, we kind of needed this. We came to a point to where, I mean, I really think our kids were just tired of hitting each other. You know, we were definitely ready for this opportunity. I feel like we made the best of it.
Looks like you ran the ball very well. True?
Yeah, it would be safe to say that. You know, and you know, we really spread the ball out as far as who, you know, toted the load for us. But, you know, the most underrated piece of that would definitely be our offensive line. And, you know, you would say, after you had the outing of 300 yards on the ground roughly, that you would not have two freshmen starting on the offensive line that night as well.
What does that say about their ability?
Oh, you know, and that's just from, I think that's the identity of our team. You know, we're pretty blue-collar. We're just a bunch of hard-working country guys, you know, and absolutely they're physical. Like I said, they're young, but you wouldn't know it.
And so much upside?
A lot, tons of upside.
In terms of what Jake Ashlock did, happy with that?
Absolutely. And you know, as far as his passing stats, you know, you look, he only threw the ball
maybe 10 times. So you're looking at about 60%, three total touchdowns, ran the ball extremely well. Really just controlled the game. More than pleased with my senior quarterback.
What pleased you about your defense?
The shutout, for sure. Pitched a shutout for the first time in a while. Also, on top of that, really kept us, set the tone early with the interception by Carson Sharp, running that in for six. That was the first score. But four turnovers, won the turnover battle for us, which was huge.
Coaches preach all the time about protect that football and take it away from the other team. It can really change the outlook of a football game very quickly.
Oh, absolutely. And anytime you win the turnover battle, you've always got a chance to be successful.
What do you put on the list of stuff that you want to work on as week two approaches?
It's the same things that we preach all the time. It's little things as far as just technique, little things of execution. I feel like we had a little too much penalty yardage last night, things we need to clean up on. Not necessarily anything cheap, but small things when you start getting down the wire in some of these region games that we really can't afford to have.
Are there penalties in your mind that you can accept and then those that just drive you crazy?
Yeah. Sometimes every once in a while you're going to get a holding penalty. You're going to get, something of that nature. The kinds that drive me crazy are the false start, the delay games, the personal fouls. The ones that come down to discipline are the ones that drive me crazy.
Finally, Jake Johnson, as you kind of size up this team, do you have a sense yet of the identity, the personality of this football team? That has that come through in practice and then in your first game?
Well, these are a group of guys that are just about their business. And, they know when it's time to work. They know when it's time to have fun. But with that being said, I feel like we have a great group of kids. Our identity for sure is physicality. And has been this offseason and was last night as well.
We're going to hit you, and you're going to know you played Clay County.
That's what we've been preaching for a while, so hopefully it sticks.
Final score Friday night, 33-0. Clay County wins over Monroe County. They will stay in Kentucky work next week against Clinton County. Coach, thanks for the time.
I appreciate it, man. No problem.
The Eric Belew era began in Crossville last night as Cumberland County falls to Scott by a 4-6 score. It was a high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Belew probably won't forget how the tenure started in Crossville. A 92-yard kickoff return for a touchdown to get things started.
Yeah, best case scenario when you start the game. Especially starting the season with the opening kickoff, and you start with some momentum. But it kind of all comes down to, you can't just have eight or nine guys doing your job each play. It's got to be 11 that, are sold out to do, what the vision is, and everybody needs to fit where they need to fit. And if one or two guys aren't doing that, that's kind of the result that happened.
Overall, what did you see last night from your Jets team?
It was kind of revealing on where we are. We're senior heavy. We just need some guys to step up and decide to be difference makers on the team. We do physically think that we can compete with people, but I think we just have to make the decision. A lot of these guys haven't had much success in their career, so it's guys that need to buy in and just decide, hey, we want to be a part of something special, and I think we can. Obviously last night wasn't a good indication of that, but we do believe that we can get everything back on track.
We talk so much about football as an X's and O's game, but gosh, the mental part of football, the believing, the confidence, it's as important as anything from a technique standpoint or a play selection, any of that.
Oh, absolutely, I agree. It's just, I think our coaches have done an excellent job pushing our kids, and I think our kids have worked really hard up to this point. It just got to where things got a little difficult early on, And, you know, we just need to learn how to fight through those things and be able to handle adversity better.
Offensively,
rebuilding the program in Crossville, Eric Ballew, head coach of the Cumberland County Jets. Let's move to Smithville, where head coach Steve Trapp and the DeKalb County Tigers. Well, it was a back-and-forth affair after some, a lot of turnovers. How about 11 of them last night as the Tigers and the Pioneers faced off in McMinnville? Coach, sloppy, but this one came right down to the end.
Yeah, it was, the coaches on both sides would probably say the same thing. Just because of the amount of turnovers, I wouldn't say anything in the first half was good on our part. It was 21-0 at halftime. But the one thing I did give my team credit for after the game was, you know, we battled back 21-21 with, a minute 15 seconds left, and just couldn't hold on from there.
Coaches hate moral victories, and I get that, but that ability to battle back, what does that say to you about your football team?
Well, it's definitely something that we can take a positive from, like I said, and we'll definitely build on that. You know, so really the message will be we got to start that way. And really it wasn't the effort. I even said it in interviews last week, and it's kind of been creeping up on us, but you know, I've not had to question our physical effort at all, but my biggest point going into last week's game was, you know, can our mental effort match our physical effort? And that's just simply running your plays right, doing things the right way. So that's the biggest thing, and that's the most frustrating thing for coaches, because you coach and you teach, you coach and you teach, and then when it's still getting done ineffectively, as far as just doing the right thing, the simplest thing, it's a little frustrating, but clean some of that up at halftime and come back out, played a little bit better football. But ultimately, the inefficiencies on offense was really what hurt our defense as well, put in those situations with the turnovers and things.
I guess the other thing is, unlike the physical part, you can't see it. You don't know. You don't know if there's a lack of focus or why is this happening? Why is this play that you've run 1,000 times in practice now suddenly – you went left when you should have gone right.
I'm telling you, and I think we've had this conversation before or with somebody, but if a coach can ever figure that out with teenagers, he'd be the richest person in the world. And the thing is, you just get back to work. You know, that's what I told my guys after the game. You know, we're gonna find the guys that's going to know what to do and get up there and do it right. Like I said, they played extremely hard. Like I said, I'm not questioning that effort. But ultimately, you do have to match the correctness of everything that we're doing. And then just eliminate the little things. I mean, I think we threw 4 or 5 picks, had a couple fumbles. One fumble was a touchdown for the defense, and then the very last play of the game was a Hail Mary-type situation that they actually got and took back as well. So, actually, it was 21-21 with just over a minute. And thought we would probably want to go to overtime or have a shot to go in the 2-minute drill and kick a field goal to possibly win, but that all turned around pretty quickly.
Coach Steve Trapp, what did you see from your DeKalb County defense?
Like I said, I've been really high on their defense, you know, all preseason and things like that. Like I said, I thought they played well, given the fact that our offense was with the turnovers kept putting them on short fields and things like that. They come up with a lot of third down stops, some fourth down stops, and really the only time that they scored against our defense without the offense aiding them was one time, and that was right there at the end of the game. And it was kudos to them. Good job by their coaching staff. They actually lined up on something that we hadn't seen and really hadn't prepared for. And it worked one time, and that's the one time they needed it to work.
Who do you need to play well defensively for this Tigers group to reach the potential that you feel like they have?
Well, it's our linebacking core, and last night, like I said, we were out, you know, our best guy on defense and one of our best guys on offense, and that's David Bradford, you know, a guy we've been talking very highly about all offseason and his whole career, really. But got banged up in the Jamboree, and, you know, we worked him all week with the potential of him being able to go, but not a playoff or district game or anything like that. We just made a decision to try to keep him healthy. He missed a few games last year being banged up. But I think not an excuse for not winning the football game or having turnovers, but he's a guy that really is a catalyst on both sides of the field for us, and it would have been nice to have him out there.
What's your message to Axel Aldino as you get back to work of what you need from him offensively?
I just need him to understand that what that role entails. You know, there at one point he got knocked out of the game there for a couple of series, and our backup come in and actually got the first touchdown on the board for us and created a little spark. So left him in for a couple more series, and he did some good things. He ended up throwing a pick as well, but there has to be competition, and that's what I've told those two guys the whole time, that, you know, I don't want nobody to take a backseat to anybody, and it really doesn't matter to me who does this thing the right way, because that's what we're going to look for, and it doesn't matter what position. And, you know, so hopefully, you know, Axel came back in and led two touchdown drives, and his feet was a big part of that, some big scramble drills and things like that. So, so going into it, we need our backup quarterback to keep pushing, and, you know, he could push hard enough. If Axel don't work hard enough, then it might flip-flop, and that's just the nature of sport and nature of competition. But Dino's got all the abilities to do what we need him to do, and he's done some really good things. Last night was not a good night.
That competition makes the whole team better.
I hope so.
Head coach Steve Trapp as Warren County wins 35-21 over DeKalb County. Coach, thanks for the time.
I appreciate it, Larry.
One more game will put week one of the high school football season in the books. That is tonight at Tucker Stadium as Upperman and Cookeville will collide. That game that got rained out by the monster storm that moved through here on Thursday night. They will try again tonight, 7 o'clock. We'll have the game for you live at ucsportsnation.com. As for week two of the high school football season, it lines up this way. Cookeville will be on the road to Livingston Academy. Clay County battles Clinton County, Kentucky in Salina. Cumberland County and White County will face off in Sparta. DeKalb County's at Upperman. Jackson County visits Sales Creek. Monterey on the road to Lookout Valley. Sunbright and Pickett County will face off. Smith County and Gordonsville, rival game there. It's Coalfield taking on Stone Memorial. Cannon County and Warren County will face off, while Gordon will be on the road. Part of a three-game start to the season on the road to the Dragons. They'll be at Oneida Friday night. We'll have a complete breakdown of the game for you next week right here, 9 o'clock on Rock 93.7, and throughout the week, complete coverage of high school sports online at ucsportsnation.com. Hope you'll be with us for that. Thanks to our producer, Will Hearn, our on-site producer, Lyra Trobaugh, and ucsportsnation.com, directed by Justin Matheny, with assistance from Rusty Ellis. Larry Stone, thanks for being with us this Saturday morning.